This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's an era of rapidly changing technology. Space shuttles are orbiting Earth, and we can listen to digital music with lasers. Our music now goes where we go. Satellites beam images around the world. From video games in our homes to the rapidly growing popularity of the personal computer that can fit on a desk, the early 80s is an exciting time in the world of tech. But there's one device about to hit the market. The device that may end up having the biggest impact of all of our lives. I'm Jamie Logie, and this is Everything 80s, a podcast that looks back on a decade that forever changed the way we dress, consume, and connected. And today, we travel back to the early 80s to witness the release of the device that, at the time, we didn't know was going to change the world. This is the history of the Dynatac 8000X, the world's very first cell phone. CD players and compact discs, the Walkman, the VCR, and the IBM PC 5150. These are just some of the amazing consumer items now available in the early 1980s. But there's one item yet to come. An item that seemed pretty outlandish at first, and also seemed to appeal to just the super rich. But before that hits the market, we need to go back a bit further in time. For decades and decades, a phone call needed to be made with a wired device. Phones were stationary and not transportable. What if you needed to make a call on the go? That pretty much felt like a pipe dream. As the phone became more commonplace in the early 20th century, it was still stationary. But in the late 1940s, the futuristic idea of a mobile phone began to come to fruition. The car phone. Imagine being able to make a call while on the road instead of having to wait until you've arrived home or at the office. According to Smithsonian Magazine, the concept of communicating while in your car goes back to the 1920s. But this was more of a transmitter and receiver. More of a walkie-talkie in a car. What about a legitimate phone in a car? It's now 1946, and the first mobile phone service is demonstrated in a car.
This is mobile telephone service. In this service, conversations travel partway by radio, partway by telephone lines. In order to reach vehicles traveling the highways between cities, a number of transmitting and receiving stations connected to telephone lines are spaced at intervals along the highway so that one will always be in range of the moving vehicle.
The equipment weighed 80 pounds and filled up most of the trunk. But there was a small audience for this, and within a few years, 5,000 customers had jumped on board. This new era of mobile car phones would be critical to the future of cell phones. According to Insider Tech, in 1947, an engineer at Bell Labs pictured a futuristic network for a new era of car phones. What was envisioned were calls being bounced uninterrupted between cells of coverage. there wasn't any technology or infrastructure in place for this yet, but that wasn't as far off as people imagined. We now have to fast forward to 1973. Car phones are still limited in their usability, but have grown in popularity. The futuristic network envisioned back in the late 40s was about to become reality. And this is when Martin Cooper of Motorola enters the picture. Cooper was a dreamer and envisioned a world full of true mobile communication. Work soon began on a prototype of his vision. On April 3rd, 1973, Cooper did something no one in history had ever done before. Something that would end up changing my life and yours forever. While in New York City on 6th Avenue between 53rd and 54th Street, he placed a phone call. The call Cooper made was to a friend at Bell Laboratories, but this didn't happen from a payphone. On a rather large device weighing around 2.5 pounds, Cooper had just made the first public mobile phone call. In his hands in New York City was a personal handheld portable cell phone. According to The Atlantic, this incredible moment was only possible because Cooper was standing near a 900 megahertz base station there on 6th Avenue. But the prototype worked. Placing a mobile phone call while out in public was indeed possible. But like a lot of new technology, many questioned its application or usefulness for real life. Cooper has said in interviews that the naysayers' problem is they don't know how to dream. The reason I know so much about the future, he says, is because I spend so much time there. But would a mobile phone have any kind of broad appeal? At best, it felt like it would find similar success to the car phone with a limited customer base. But Cooper wanted to go beyond the car, which he still saw as being isolated to one location. A car phone didn't represent true freedom. For 100 years, copper wires kept us in our homes and offices to make phone calls. A car phone still limited us to the car. If you wanted to make a call from, say, the beach, you couldn't exactly lug your car down to the surf to do so. Cooper wanted a future of true mobile calling. He saw a future of interconnectivity, and on that day in 1973, he had just changed the world. And of course, a prototype is one thing. What are the next steps? How do you put together a true consumer mobile phone, get it out on the market, and relay its ingenuity to the public? It was going to be a long and expensive road. As we go into the later 70s and early 1980s, the prototype, dubbed the Dynatac, or Dynamic Adaptive Total Area Coverage, worked by converting your voice into an electric signal, which then modulates a radio wave. That radio wave goes to a mast. The mast sends your voice to the person you're calling, and by reversing this process, that person can hear you speak. According to the BBC, the way that this first call was made hasn't really changed. But there was an obvious issue: a lack of cell phone towers or masts. A cell phone without an infrastructure to use it would be useless. And there was another big issue. With that first phone call in New York, Cooper and Motorola had shown that a cellular phone was possible. Other companies would surely get on board, and competition would be fierce. But a cell phone without a cellular system or network to use it was just a giant brick. creating that cell tower infrastructure was absolutely paramount. And what ended up being created by AT&T was the Advanced Mobile Phone System, or AMPS. According to Britannica, this was North America's first 1G, or first generation, analog cellular infrastructure. With all hands on deck and battles with the FCC, the system was finally ready by 1983, just in time for the phone that would use it. The final version of the Dynatac came in at around 13 inches high, took 10 hours to charge for about 30 minutes of talk time, and weighed around 2 pounds. As of the time of this recording, one of the biggest phones on the market is the iPhone 15 Pro Max. The Dynatac weighed more than 4 of those combined. The Dynatac is about the same weight as a baseball bat. But it ran on an analog signal and could store up to 30 different phone numbers. That storage feature was pretty incredible at the time. The entire device was truly groundbreaking and revolutionary. Yes, we look back and laugh at its giant size, but compared to other tech at the time, it really wasn't that big. If you ever saw one of the first VCRs, you know how big those were, some weighing up to 60 pounds. The first video camera my family had looked like a giant TV camera, and we had to carry around a suitcase that contained the actual video recorder. But the first cellular phone, dubbed the Dynatac 8000X, was an incredible piece of technology. It was a truly portable phone. However, this technology did not come cheap. The original price tag of the 8000X was a whopping $3,995. Adjust that for inflation, and we're at $12,500 in today's money. The good thing, though, for those who could afford it, was they were getting quality. Since this was not yet a mass-produced item, more time and care was taken in making each 8000X. In September 1983, after more than a decade of development and $100 million in creating the cellular phone systems and the phone itself, the FCC officially approved the Motorola Dynatac 8000X. As we head into 1984, Motorola is about to unveil their revolutionary product, introduce a new era in tech, and change our future all at the same time. The commercials for the Dynatac 8000X played up the cellular revolution.
This revolution in communications could make it possible for more and more people to have a phone in their car, or even one that travels with you. Like this unique cellular portable made by Motorola, which weighs only 30 ounces.
They let us know that we were about to see these things in more and more places. The future is now, and we better get used to it. Seeing someone with a cellular phone, they said, will soon become as common as, quote, checking time on an electronic watch, using an electronic calculator, or programming on an electronic computer, unquote. In their marketing, Motorola also wanted you to know that even though there are just a few thousand cellular phones in use right now, that number is expected to grow considerably in the next few years. Little did they know. The print ads for the 8000X let us know that this isn't one of those cordless house phones that confine you to your backyard or house because of their lack of signal range. The Dynatac 8000X is the only phone that goes where you want to go. Wherever you go, that new portable from Motorola keeps you in touch. It's compact, lightweight, and fits comfortably in your hand. The print ads also share that you get double the value with the 8000X, as it quickly transforms into a cellular car phone with a simple attachment in your vehicle. Yes, the 8000X was incredible technology and felt like we were living in the future. But who in the world could afford something like this? Back in 1984, for just $1,000 more, you could buy a brand new Plymouth Colt two-door hatchback. But like the car phone, the Dynatac was a toy for the rich. And that's exactly who bought them up. Specifically, the business world. Seeing a new cellular phone on Wall Street started to become commonplace, just like the Motorola ads had said. But if you were the average person, you probably weren't hanging around yuppies in the financial district of Manhattan. However, it didn't take long for the cell phone to make its way into pop culture. And many kids of the 80s would quickly become aware of the cell phone, all thanks to a preppy teenager from Bayside, California.
Everything 80s will return after these messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
One of the very first pop culture appearances of the Dynatac 8000X was in 1984's 16 Candles. The coming-of-age film starring Molly Ringwald and directed by John Hughes was a huge hit for a generation of viewers in the 1980s. It was also when many people got their first glimpse of a cellular phone. In the movie, the character of Jake has a wealthy father who owns an expensive Rolls-Royce, complete with a Motorola Dynatac. Then, one of the most notable Dynatac pop culture moments harkens back to some of its original audience, Wall Street. In the 1987 movie Wall Street, starring Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen, we meet the character of Gordon Gekko. Gekko is the epitome of Wall Street success. With his tailored suits, Rolex watch, and slick back hair, he is the personification of wealth and achievement. Gordon Gekko portrays his success to the world, not only through appearance, but accessories. While walking on the beach in the early morning hours, we see Gordon Gekko with a Motorola Dynatac in hand, speaking to his protege, Bud Fox. The 8000X was not only a helpful accessory for the world of business, it was now a status symbol. The success of the movie Wall Street had a big influence on the world of financial power fashion made popular by Gordon Gekko, and this look was completed with a Dynatac 8000X. If you were a big-time player in the world of finance, you needed a cell phone. Not only was it a business tool, but the perfect way to display to the world your wealth and success. In the movie American Psycho that is set in the mid to late 80s, the character of Patrick Bateman has that similar Gordon Gekko aesthetic, complete with a giant cell phone. If you were a part of the business world in the 80s, you had to have a Dynatac. Yes, it was about looking the part and keeping up with the Joneses, but those with a new cell phone could be a step ahead of you in making deals and getting information. But the Wall Street elites were one thing. For many kids of the 80s, they would be introduced to this incredible new technology thanks to the show that started out in 1987 as Good Morning, Miss Bliss. But you, of course, know it by another name. If you grew up with Saved by the Bell, you know that Zach Morris was the proud owner of a giant Dynatac 8000X. One of the first appearances of the Zach Morris cell phone comes from the third episode of Season 1. In that episode from September 1989 called The Gift, Screech is struck by lightning, allowing him to see into the future. One of the ways Zach takes advantage of Screech's new power is for him to predict horse racing results, and we see Zach, in the Max, making a call on his cell phone to the racetrack. Zach Morris's cell phone became a big part of the Zach Morris character, and for many kids, this was the first time they ever saw a cell phone. It was one thing to see a business person using one, but if Zach Morris had a cell phone, that meant it was pretty much the coolest item imaginable. Despite its gigantic price tag, the Dynatac caught on. According to Slate, in 1984, there were 91,600 cellular subscribers in the U.S., and the beauty of this for Motorola is the 8000X was the only mobile phone available. The next year, things really took off. By the end of 1985, some 340,000 subscribers had joined the cellular revolution. Motorola's innovation had taken the world by storm, and they had waiting lists in the thousands. As we enter the second half of the 1980s, the cell phone only continues to grow. Even though it's seen as the definitive cell phone of the 80s, the 8000X was just the beginning. The good thing about tech is it always gets smaller and less expensive. Just 3 years after the release of the 8000X came the 8500X. Released in 1987, the newest edition from Motorola was sleeker than the 8000X, weighing just 730 grams. It also had an improved battery life. And now, it came in a sleeker, dark gray color. You may remember Zach Morris's dad with a darker gray cell phone like this. The 8500X could display up to 7 digits of a telephone number and even featured an in-use indicator to show a call was in progress. It had just been a few years, but the technology was quickly advancing. The 8500X had more functions like a range of timers to measure the duration of calls, and it could store up to 99 phone numbers and associated names. The phone could recall numbers from memory, and you could check the signal strength on the display. If you lived in Europe in the 1980s, the 8500X was the one you may have seen the most, as it became extremely popular there. But back in the early days of the cell phone, there was the big issue that still plagues us today: battery life. The 8000X just had that 30 minutes or so of talk time. Considering you had to charge it for 10 hours to just get that half hour, it was a significant issue. With the 8500X, you could at best maybe get an hour out of it. In 1988, Motorola addressed the battery life issue by releasing the 4500X. This model offered longer battery life, but came in a much bigger package. Picture a car phone style phone, but on top of what looks like a car battery. It was more of a transportable telephone than mobile phone, as the phone was attached to the giant brick battery with a telephone cord. Yes, it was a lot larger and inconvenient, but you got much longer battery life. It could also double as a car phone when plugged into a cigarette lighter. My uncle had one of these, and I have such a distinctive memory of being able to call my mom at home, but while I was in a car. At this point, there was no stopping cellular phones. NBC News reported that sales of cellular car phones had hit 1.25 million. Cellular phones were so popular that everyone wanted to look the part, and sales of fake car phones also took off, with one company selling 45,000 pretend car phones. Even fake antennas were popular to make it look like you were on the cutting edge of technology. In 1989, another gigantic leap forward took place with the release of the Motorola MicroTac 9800X. At this point, the technology has shrunk considerably. It has been less than 5 years since the 8000X, and Motorola released the smallest and lightest cellular phone on the market. The MicroTac came with two notable innovations. Despite the smaller size, it had a better battery life, and it was also a flip phone. The mouthpiece was able to be folded up over the keypad. When flipped open, it fit your face more naturally, and when folded up, became genuinely portable. The flip aspect was such a revolutionary design because now you could pretty much just put a cell phone in your pocket. The MicroTac also fit easily into a purse. You almost didn't even notice you were carrying it around. The original Dynatac 8000X was a wonder of technology, but yes, it was a giant brick to carry with you. As long as you had pockets, the new MicroTac legitimately could go anywhere you did. This remarkable flip phone that Motorola called the wave of the future once again became the ultimate status symbol. But not surprisingly, it didn't come cheap. The new MicroTac came in at around $3,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's around $7,500. One interesting thing about this first flip phone by Motorola is that it had a fake antenna. According to Mobile Phone Museum, the pull-up plastic antenna wasn't real. The 9800X had an internal antenna, but Motorola included it after focus groups indicated that users expected that any type of cellular phone would have an antenna included. The average consumer just couldn't imagine that a cellular phone could work without an antenna. So, what if you wanted to get in on this cellular revolution but didn't have the money to shell out for a Dynatac? Well, we did have access to the next best thing.
How can you conserve precious time and expand your working space? With an Edmonton Telephones beeper. An inexpensive way to keep in touch for important calls and messages while you're away from home or office. If you're needed, you'll know instantly. And no one needs to know where you are.
By the early to mid-80s, pagers or beepers had already been around for years. But in a rapidly changing world of mobile communication, the pager's popularity grew as well. If you're under, say, 25, a pager or beeper is a little box you would wear on your hip. Someone could dial a number that sent a message to your beeper with the phone number you could call them back on when you finally got to a payphone or regular phone. It was like getting a text to your pants, but one that you couldn't reply to. However, a pager meant you were reachable and you didn't have to go home to check messages on an answering machine. Motorola released the PageBoy in 1974, and by 1980, millions had been sold. But they had a limited range of about 25 miles. As we go later into the 80s, the technology improved, as did the range and usability of pagers. As the cell tower infrastructure spread, so too did wide area paging, allowing radio waves to spread over much larger distances. According to the LA Times, going into the early 80s, a pager went for around $200 to $300, and you had to pay another $25 to $30 a month for the airtime subscription. Not cheap, but much more affordable than a cellular phone. But ultimately, this was the decade all about the cell phone, the remarkable piece of tech that quickly made an impact on our society. I don't need to tell you how much cell phones changed our world in every aspect of our lives. The UN considers that today, 3/4 of the planet own a mobile phone. According to the BBC, in the UK alone, there are more cell phones than people. Bloomberg Business follows this up by saying there are indeed now more cell phones on Earth than there are people. But it all starts with the Motorola Dynatac 8000X, the phone that created a legacy. And the 8000X has an interesting final chapter. You may think that they became unusable decades and decades ago, but that isn't the case. Here in Canada, Rogers Communication didn't go completely digital until June 1st of 2007. A June 2007 Toronto Star article shared the story of a Toronto personal trainer and security guard named Costa, who bought an old Dynatac off of eBay and was still able to use it on the analog network. But as the switch was made to digital at 12:01 a.m. June 1st, 2007, Costa planned out a call at 11:55 p.m. the night before. This probably makes this the very last commercial call made on the cell phone that started it all. The cell phone, for better or for worse, is an absolute cornerstone of our lives. They have ceased to become cell phones and quickly became little supercomputers that you can carry around in your pocket. There's a good chance that you're listening to me right now on your phone. And that phone can trace its roots back to the Dynatac 8000X. So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. If you want some more related to this episode, I have previous shows about the IBM PC 5150, the history of the Walkman, and an episode about Wall Street and the rise of yuppie culture in the 80s. But that's just a small sampling, and there's plenty more where that came from. So if you haven't already, be sure to check out my earlier episodes for more 1980s goodness. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Everything 80s podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on new episodes. If you're in a position to help support the show and you're looking for bonus 1980s audio content, you can consider becoming a part of Patreon.com. That's the place to listen to the Everything 80s movie review podcast. And if you want to learn more, just head on over to Patreon.com/80s. That's Patreon.com/80s. Or click on the link in the description. So that's it for me. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm Jamie. This has been Everything 80s, but I'll be back soon with a new episode. Don't you dare miss it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.